The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, chapter 9, beginning at verse 9. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. As he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God, who is Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. Don't you just love the detail in this picture? Oh, if you go back to the other one, Nancy. Don't you just love the detail? That's in your pew sheet, so you'll be able to look at that a little bit more. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. So the majority of people in this world are ordinary people. Most of us are not famous, powerful, wealthy, or influential. We live fairly ordinary lives with ordinary struggles, ordinary worries and ordinary hopes. Yet again and again, Scripture reminds us that God has always done extraordinary things through ordinary people. Now we'll go on to the next slide, Nancy. So Doris Taylor, that's Doris there, who looks quite blue over there. I'm not quite sure why they sort of made her blue and they've got the different colours there. But Doris Taylor was born in 1909. When she was only 7 years old, she suffered an accident that badly injured her spine. And for the next 9 years, she was constantly in hospital. By the age of 16, she was considered seriously disabled. She couldn't turn her head, sit up properly, or even feed herself. And most people would have understood if she'd simply focused on surviving each day. But during the Great Depression in the 1930s, Doris became deeply concerned about elderly and chronically ill people who were struggling to eat. So she began organising hot midday meals to be delivered into people's homes. That simple act of compassion became the beginning of, what do you think it became the beginning of? Meals on Wheels, that's right. It became the beginning of Meals on Wheels, which is still going to this day, isn't it? In fact, I know some of our parishioners actually do Meals on Wheels. So even though Doris herself was profoundly disabled, needing care and being moved around in sort of a lightweight bed at the time, she still believed that she could make a difference. She saw a need and answered the call. She could easily have said, "Someone else can do this better than I can." But she didn't. And in God's hands, an ordinary person became a blessing to thousands. Today in our readings, we meet two other ordinary people, Abraham and Matthew. Abraham, as we know, was wealthy and successful in many ways. But family life for him was far from smooth, wasn't it? God had promised that he would become the father of a great nation. Yet the years passed by and by and by, and there was no children. No children were coming between him and his wife, Sarah. So he decided he'd take matters into his own hands, didn't he? Became a little bit impatient. And obviously the result of that impatience was he sort of had Hagar. In fact, Sarah said to him, take Hagar. And Ishmael was born. But for Ishmael and Hagar, it became quite a difficult life in the end, didn't it? And it certainly created some dynamics within the family unit that were not helpful at all. So Abraham wasn't perfect, yet somehow God chose him to become the person through whom all nations would be blessed. So that's Abraham. Then we have Matthew, don't we? We actually know very little about Matthew, not a lot about him, except he was one of the least respected people in town. Why was Matthew one of the least respected people in town? Because he was a tax collector, that's right. And because he was a tax collector, that meant he was working for the Roman occupiers. But also, for the people in that, they saw those tax collectors as almost being like traitors and certainly cheats, because they were notorious for taking extra money than what they needed to tax people and then keeping that extra money for themselves. Yet one day Jesus walked past Matthew sitting at his tax booth and simply said to him, follow me. And Matthew did, which is quite amazing in a way, because he left everything behind and trusted Jesus enough to begin a completely new life. We can almost imagine the shock of it, can't we? Why Matthew? Surely there were more respectable people available, better educated, more religious people, maybe more trustworthy people. But this seems to be exactly how God works throughout the Bible. God calls shepherd boys to become kings, frightened farmers to lead armies, fishermen to become apostles, and a young village girl named Mary to become the mother of Christ. Again and again and again, we see how God chooses ordinary people. So then we have this beautiful painting here by the Italian artist Caravaggio, and this is titled The Calling of St. Matthew. And in the painting, we can see Matthew is sitting at a table counting money with a group of merchants who actually dressed, they're not dressed in biblical clothes at all, but in ordinary everyday clothing. And suddenly a beam of light cuts across the room as Jesus enters and points towards Matthew. You can see him pointing just at the side there on the right. Matthew looks startled and he points to himself almost as if, who, me? You can almost imagine, really, me? And Caravaggio captures it beautifully, the moment when the light of God suddenly enters an ordinary life. Now, people criticize Caravaggio because his biblical characters look too common, too ordinary, too much like everyday people in the streets. They actually didn't like it. They thought it was just not right at all. And when the church leaders complained that the painting didn't look religious enough, Caravaggio replied, our Lord loved and called to him the common people. That is the Lord of which I paint. Good answer, eh? Pretty good answer. And this is exactly the God, this is the Jesus that we meet in our gospel today. Right after calling Matthew, Jesus sits down to eat with tax collectors and outcasts. The religious leaders are absolutely scandalized because they sort of say, well, good religious people should not be associating with people like that. Yet Jesus replies, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So you had these religious leaders that had sort of basically set themselves almost above everybody else. They, in fact, they had a special place that they could go from where they got cleaned. They could walk above the streets of Jerusalem to get to the temple so that they didn't get unclean on the way from when they cleaned themselves to being in the temple. So they really did sort of elevate themselves from the hoi polloi, if you want to put it that way. Then a little bit later in Matthew, because we've got two sections in our reading today from Matthew's Gospel, so there's a little chunk in the middle that we haven't read, but from verse 18 onwards, we see just how far this compassion that Jesus is talking about reaches. Because a synagogue leader comes desperately pleading for his daughter, who has just died. You can imagine, really, at the time. And at the same time, a woman who'd been suffering from bleeding for 12 years quietly pushes through the crowd, hoping just to touch the edge of Jesus' cloak. According to the religious customs of the day, her illness made her unclean. She shouldn't have been there, because in being there and being around other people, she was making them unclean as well. She was somebody that everybody would want to avoid. And she probably spent years feeling excluded, ashamed, maybe even invisible. Yet Jesus notices her. And in the middle of all the noise and urgency, he stops and turns towards this suffering woman. And he says to her, and I love these words, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. Can you imagine what it would have felt like for her to hear those words, having been a person that people just didn't want to know, probably? Imagine the tenderness in that moment. Jesus doesn't see a problem to be avoided. He sees a beloved daughter. Then he continues on to the house of the synagogue leader and takes the dead girl by the hand, and she rises. Once again, Jesus crosses boundaries which respectable society would avoid, because he touches the unclean. In touching somebody who's already died, he's touching somebody else who's unclean. But he goes near death and he responds to the desperate ordinary people with compassion and mercy. That is who Jesus is. Jesus came not only for people whose lives are neat and successful, but also for those who are struggling and broken, confused and weary, ashamed, anxious, grieving, lonely, or rejected. He calls people with messy histories and uncertain futures. And he calls people who feel strong and people who feel weak. He calls people who think too highly of themselves and people who secretly think that they're worth nothing at all. The church has always, always been a gathering of ordinary people who heard Jesus say, "Follow me," and that includes us. Because each of us here today is an example of someone whom God has called. Not because we're perfect, thank goodness for that in some ways, but because God is gracious. His call is personal. It's an incredibly personal one. Jesus speaks person to person. So each one of us would have had Jesus speak to us, heart to heart. And he still calls ordinary people to live lives of mercy, compassion, courage and hope today. Sometimes we think we have too little to offer. And we look at our limitations, our age, our failures, our fears. And we imagine God could never, ever really use us. Yet Doris Taylor could barely move. And still she helped begin a movement that transformed countless lives. Matthew was a tax collector. Abraham was flawed and impatient. The woman in today's gospel had spent years suffering in silence. And still God worked through every single one of them. Perhaps that's because God doesn't wait for perfect people. As I say, thank goodness for that. God works through willing people. God works through willing people. We belong to Christ, and he's chosen us to represent him in our homes, our workplaces, neighbourhoods and communities. Sometimes that does mean stepping out in faith and trying something new. Sometimes it means showing compassion where others show judgment. Sometimes it means offering encouragement to someone who feels forgotten. And sometimes it means changing the church for the better so that it reflects more clearly the welcoming heart of Jesus. I actually am very, very blessed to be part of this community because I do think that we are a welcoming community. But we must never ever forget that that's what we're here to do. Welcome those who come through our doors. The world can often make us feel small and insignificant. But the gospel reminds us that nobody, absolutely nobody, is insignificant in the eyes of God. The woman reaching for Jesus' cloak probably thought nobody noticed her. She maybe was hoping that nobody would notice her because they may have been shooing her off if they had. Matthew never imagined that he would become an apostle. What an amazing turnaround for him, going from a tax collector to an apostle. Abraham must have doubted the promises so many times. And Doris Taylor may never have imagined what her simple act of compassion would become. But in God's hands, ordinary people can do extraordinary things. You too have been blessed, so you can become a blessing to others. And somewhere perhaps closer than you realize, God is already shining his light into your ordinary life and quietly saying, "Follow me." The Lord be with you.